Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching today. I'd love to hear from you. If you listen to the program and you like what you hear, I would appreciate you writing to me, drop me a card or a letter or a call, or let me know that you watch the program, because I have no way of knowing unless I hear from you. All right, will you read with me today in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And of course, the idea that he's presenting there is that it has to do with an attitude. Let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. Verse 6, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." The point being that he would have had every reason to have made himself of reputation. Why? Because he was in the form of God and was equal with God. He's the Son of God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's all things were made by him and for him and whatever. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Jehovah of the Old Testament scriptures. And so he'd have every reason to make himself of reputation, but he didn't do this. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. In other words, then, as a preacher, as a man of God, my attitude should be the same as Christ. I should make no effort to make myself a reputation. I should not try to make myself favorable unto men. My point is not to get men to like me. My point is to make men to see Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor." If I know the truth, and if that truth that I know will build you up in the faith, then I would preach that truth unto you. But listen to me. If I, because that I want you to favor me, because I want you to boast in me and brag on me and whatever, if I withhold truth from you, then I don't love you. Love working the will to his neighbor. But that isn't all. If I know the truth in the scripture, if I know the word of God, and I know that by me preaching the truth unto you, it's going to offend you. But yet, I want you to know that. If I love you, then I'm going to preach the truth unto you, even though you're going to get mad at me, even though you're going to get angry at me, if I preach the truth unto you. Love working the will to his neighbor. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And this is very clear in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, Jesus Christ, after the supper, took a pail of water, a basin of water, and a towel, girded himself with a towel, and he began to wash the apostles' feet. Think about it. The creator of heaven and earth, the holy and the righteous God that he is, knelt on his knees in front of dirty fishermen, in front of Peter, and began to wash his feet. The one that created all things, that knew men by name before they were ever born, that one became a servant unto men. He certainly made himself of no reputation. He washed their feet. We're to be servants unto people. We're to serve people. Go back up to Philippians chapter 2 and notice in verse 2, "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory." In other words, don't do anything to receive empty glory. All the applause that we receive here is emptiness. It's going to amount to nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. What men say about you today is not going to count at the judgment seat of Christ. It's all vainglory. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." The idea being, serve other people. Be a servant unto someone. Verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but let every man look on the things of other. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." Hold on the passage and turn back with me to Romans. And look in Romans, in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, notice, let the attitude of Christ be in you now. In Romans chapter 12, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Look in chapter 15, the mind of Christ, in chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. When we respond, like if somebody does something bad unto us, and we respond by pulling them down, by getting back at them, we're pleasing ourselves. We do that to please this flesh. This flesh of ours does not enjoy being put down. Jesus Christ was spit upon, his beard was pulled out, he was hit in the face with men's fists, he was beaten and finally crucified, he was cursed, he was laughed at, belittled. If I'm going to let the mind of Christ be in me, then I have to take all those things and not try to get back at that individual and pull them down in the eyes of people. I'm to be a servant of men. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, Jesus Christ, verse 7, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now we're talking about the cross. Jesus Christ then died the death of the cross. Jesus Christ didn't just die. He was crucified. To be crucified is to be nailed to a cross, put to death by the death of a cross. And the death of the cross was a death of criminals. The Bible said that he was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus Christ then, in the eyes of men in that day, was not a reputable man. Jesus Christ, in the eyes of the public, in the eyes of the multitudes of that day, was not a man to be admired. He was not a man to be exalted. He was not a man to boast in and brag on. In fact, he was seen as a criminal. He was seen as an enemy of the people. He was seen as an enemy of the religious system of that day, and he was put to death for his beliefs. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He died the death of the cross. So what am I to do then? I'm to put the death of Christ to my account. I'm to die the death of the cross. I'm not to literally be nailed to a cross, but I'm to accept the literal death of Jesus Christ as if it were my death. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for me. I'm the bad guy. I'm the one that's to be despised. I'm the one that's to be looked upon with scorn. I'm the one that's to be laughed at and sneered at. I'm the one that deserves the bad remarks and the beating in the face and whatever. I'm the one that deserves the crown of thorns. I'm the one that deserves to be belittled. But Jesus Christ took it in my behalf. Therefore, the death of Christ is my death. As I believe in him as my Lord and Savior, what he did at Calvary is put to my account, and I can accept that as being of God. God delivered him up for us all, so therefore Jesus Christ was turned over to those people by God the Father, and as he hung on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So God did not deliver him. God did not stop the process, and thank God that he didn't, because if God would have stopped that process, you would have gone to hell. Why? Because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All that we can boast in, all that we have that is of reputation among men, is nothing but dirty, filthy rags in the eyes of God. All the applause that we receive is nothing. It's vain glory. The Bible said that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Then I ask you, is your church system highly esteemed among men? Now, I dare you to think about that. Is your church, your denomination, is it highly esteemed among men? Do you, as a member of that system, highly esteem that system? That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the eyes of God. Please think about the fact that in the first century, men hid to study the Word of God. Men hid in caves. They assembled in caves. And they took the manuscripts and they copied them in secret because they couldn't be found with a manuscript. They couldn't be found with a Bible. They would be put to death. There was nothing to brag about being a Christian. Being a Christian was not something to be of a claim. It was not something of reputation. It was not something to boast in. There was no walking the aisle for Jesus as there is now. You know what I'm talking about. The preacher stands up and preaches a 15-minute message, 3 points, and then gives a poem, tells a sob story. Then with every head bowed and every eye closed, he goes into the invitation as the piano plays softly, "Just As I Am," without one plea. And then he calls on people to step out and walk the aisle for Jesus. And so they walk the aisle and they come down and shake the preacher's hand. And later on, they're baptized in the baptistry. You know what I'm talking about. The baptistry with the lights softly turned down, and the preacher steps into that baptistry and puts the handkerchief on the nose of the candidate, and then he puts him down in the water, and he's not supposed to riffle the water and all that kind of business. And it's of great acclaim among men. It is highly esteemed among men. And since this man was baptized, he's highly esteemed. He's not highly esteemed because he believes the cross. He's not highly esteemed because he believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's highly esteemed because he joined that system and was baptized into that system. Somebody said, "Brother Moore, you don't know what you're talking about." I know exactly what I'm talking about, and you know that I know what I'm talking about. The religious systems of the world is highly esteemed among men. Men do not highly esteem being saved by grace through faith. You give your testimony. In fact, I've seen it happen over and over here. I've seen so-called Christians that got under conviction and saw that they were lost believers. I've seen case after case where men over the years had walked the aisle, they joined the church, been baptized, received into full fellowship of the church and on, but never were saved. And by the preaching of the cross, by the preaching of the gospel, they got under conviction. And they realized they had never been saved. They realized there was not a day in their lives that they could put their finger on and say, "At that time I was under conviction and saw myself lost." They realized that they had never come to the place that they saw themselves hanging over hell by a heartbeat. And in that condition received Jesus, believing that he died for their sins. That had never happened to them. And so those people trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were lost believers. And they got saved. And as a result of salvation, they suffered persecution from so-called Christians. I know of a case right now of some grace brethren, some people that were saved. They had been called Christians for years. And they got under conviction about their condition and realized they had never really believed in Christ. They had never come to a place that they saw themselves as lost and in need of a Savior, and seeing that, receive Him as their Savior. That had never happened to them. And they received Christ as their Savior. They believed the gospel. They saw the truth and were gloriously saved. And since they've been saved, there are some so-called grace believers that condemn them. And they say, "Oh, you didn't really get saved then. You were already saved," and on. There was a case in our assembly. We had been in a Bible class in Fairhope, Alabama. I'd preached on the questions in the book of Jeremiah One of those questions was, God said, how shall I pardon thee? I had been for some time preaching the gospel regularly, preaching the cross. And some people in the assembly had gotten on conviction. And that night, there were several people that were under conviction. We were all traveling in a van. And so when we left there, we got back in this van and started home. And I turned around in the seat up front. Another young man was driving the van. And I started to talk to some of the people in that van. I wasn't really aware of what was going on in their minds and in their hearts. We got back home, and a young man that worked for me here at the Berea Bible Study, this young man pulled the van up into my driveway. We began to get out, and he said, Brother Moore, I need to talk to you. This young man had claimed to be a Christian. He came to work for me claiming to be saved. We walked around the side of my house, and he stopped back there and turned back toward me. When I got to him, he said, Brother Moore, and I knew exactly what he was going to say. He said, Brother Moore, I'm lost. I'm lost. That man had got under great conviction. He'd seen himself as he really was. He suddenly realized that he never had claimed Christ. He never had really seen the gospel. He never had really seen that Christ died for his sins. But instead, he had believed in some verses in the Bible. He had claimed a verse. Reminds me of Jesus saying unto those people, in effect, he said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify me, but you won't come to me that you may have life. In other words, those scribes and those Pharisees searched the scriptures. They copied the scriptures and recopied the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify me. You won't come to me. I bet you I'm talking to somebody right now, and you can quote verses of Scripture out of the Bible, and you think because those verses say what they say, that means you've got eternal life, although you've never come to Jesus Christ that you may have life. I bet you can't remember a day in your life when you were lost. I bet you can't remember a day when you got under conviction and you were really torn up. Your heart was breaking because you saw yourself in the sinful condition you were in. And in that condition, you trust Christ your Lord and say, I bet you can't remember a day like that in your life. What day is there in your life that you can remember that? Well, that man came to that place. And so that night, there beside my home, he trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Suddenly he saw the gospel. He saw Christ died for me. He paid for my sins. Jesus Christ is my Savior. We walked around to the front of my house. There were several people there that had been with us. They had gone with us to the Bible class. And so he began to tell these people how that he had just gotten saved, and some of them began to argue with him. They said, oh no, you didn't just, you've been saved all the time. He said, no, I'm not. The man ought to know. And two or three of them left angry. They were angered because this man had just gotten saved. You know why they got angry? Because they were lost. And one of those individuals stormed out of my yard, jumped in his car, and took off. He left there in a rage. He was irritated about this whole thing. Here's a Christian just got saved. He said, it cannot be. Everybody finally left. I went into my home. Shortly thereafter, the doorbell rang. I went to the door, and there stood this man on the front porch. I knew what that man was going to say to me before he spoke. He was crying. That man that went charging away from there in anger was also a lost believer. He could not remember a day when he had ever been lost. He could not remember a day that he hadn't been a Christian. He did not remember ever having trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Do you understand what I'm talking to you about? Think about Abraham. The Bible said Abraham obeyed God. God Almighty spoke to Abraham and said, come out from among thy people and come into a land that I'll show thee. He believed in God and obeyed God, but he wasn't righteous. He got into the land that God was going to give him. And God said, Abraham, if you could count the stars, you'd be able to count your seed. Your seed will outnumber the stars of heaven. And Abraham believed God, and accounted it to him for righteousness. Think about it. Abraham already believed in God. Abraham already obeyed God. But he wasn't righteous by faith. On a given day in Abraham's life, Abraham became righteous by faith for believing something God said to him. I'm probably talking to somebody right now. You've believed in God all your life. You believe that God gave his son. But you have never come to the place that you needed him as your Savior. When did you see yourself in need of a Savior? When in your life can you remember that you were lost? Absolutely lost, going to hell. Jesus Christ said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible said if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. When is there a day in your life that you were lost and you saw yourself lost? And in that condition, you receive Christ as your Savior, trusting him and him alone to save you. Your salvation is by the cross. The righteousness of Christ put to your account. You've been crucified, buried, and risen. You recognize now that you died at Calvary and that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He died the death of the cross. You know something? Romans chapter 6 is very clear. In fact, turn there. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, notice in verse 3. Romans 6, 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. No water there. Oh, no. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It is the Holy Spirit that baptized us into Jesus Christ. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, that is by the Holy Spirit, were baptized into his death. In other words, every person that is put into Jesus Christ, let's just say here is the body of Christ. This is the church, which is the body of Christ. Out here are the sinners. Every sinner that is identified in this body, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What's that baptism? 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, for by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit baptizes into that body. But think about it. Every person that's baptized into that body was baptized into the death of Christ. There is no way that God Almighty is going to put you in that one body until you have seen the cross. You cannot get to God except by way of the cross. Every person in the one body of Christ died at Calvary. They were buried at Calvary and resurrected with Christ, quickened together with Christ, God having forgiven you all trespasses. Now look at the verse again, Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we're buried with him, as in A.D. 33. Our old man buried with him. We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Tell me, when is there a time in your life? Where can you find a spot in your life that you were dead in trespasses and sins? You were lost, a lost sinner, doomed and damned and on your way to hell. And you were under conviction. The Bible said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When did the Holy Spirit convict you of sin? When did the Holy Spirit convict you of righteousness? That is, convict you and convince you and make you understand that all your works were only filthy rags, and of judgment to come. What time in your life do you remember that as a believer you passed from death unto life and you began to walk in newness of life? Old life passed away. Old things passed away. All things become new. When did that take place with you? It didn't come. It didn't happen without the cross. Jesus Christ died the death of the cross. It's the cross that makes the difference. Will you come to the cross? Will you believe in Jesus Christ, trusting that Christ at Calvary became what you are and died for your sins, and all your sins were judged there? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you.